Now we come to the Gospel, for which all the other readings have been preparing us to understand various aspects of the gift and the act of repentance. Pius XII once said, "The greatest sin of our age is the lack of a sense of sin." One of the things that is the tortured European conscience has been working on is to eliminate any reference to God, any sense of God, because their consciences are killing them. Who wants there to be no God? Not someone who's good to his wife, good to his children, honest to his relationships, and seeking the meaning of life. That one doesn't want a God, doesn't want there to be no God. But the guy who's sensual, spends his time drinking too much, looking at the wrong TV, unfaithful to his wife, cheating in business, he's the one that doesn't want there to be a God. And so it's not an abstract philosophical dictum at all. And we don't go into that right now, but it's all ridiculous. You know, basically, just to sum them all up, this crowd, they cannot conceive of causality. Things just happen. That famous example on that, if you've ever seen that, video of Ben Stein, it's the one where all these professors are dismissed because they hold for intelligent design. And at the end, he's interviewing a very famous atheist. And he says, "Now, Professor, your colleagues say that every individual cell is like a galaxy. It's so intricate and so beautiful." He said, "That's right." He said, "How could that come from mud?" Stopped. Even his mind now had to search for a causality. But it's not going to be God. He's just going to push back the whole thing. So he says, "Oh, maybe somebody came from Mars." Can you imagine? The guy evangelizing atheism, the only answer he can give is, maybe a guy from Mars came and started, you know, fertilizing the mud or something. Anything but God. Why? Because I don't want to change my life. I am afraid of being judged. That's why this Sunday is given to us mercy, mercy, mercy. And the one right after Easter, Mercy Sunday. Come back. So anyway, I want to read a little bit of chapter 12 so you get the idea. I'm starting in 12:51. "Do you suppose that I am here to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two against three, and so forth." That's an allusion to a text in the prophecy of Micah about the end times, families being divided. Why do you, when you see a cloud looming up, you say it's going to rain, and it does. When the wind is from the south, you say it's going to be hot, and it is. You hypocrites, how can you know how to interpret the face of the earth, and you do not know how to interpret these times? Wake up! And so, then this example. You've only got this life. If you're on the way to court against your opponent, because he wants to sue you or you sue him, make it up before you get to the judge, because you don't know what the judge is going to decide. These are all beautiful ways that Jesus, the living, eternal Son of God, is using all the devices of a preacher to get people to turn from sin and turn back to him and to the Father. Now, in that context, we have this text. "Now, on the same occasion," the occasion we just discussed there from chapter 12, you see, "there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices." Somehow the Galileans were causing trouble. He sent the soldiers and he killed them all. Jesus says, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all the other Galileans? because they suffered this fate? No way. I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Do you see how anxious he is, out of love, to have people come back? Have people come back? Oh, my goodness, if you have a friend, oh, I don't want to go back, I don't know what he's going to say. Assure him. And if you've really had a conversion, and you really know the tenderness of God, witness to it. That's what gives rise to this beautiful gift of tears. You see, is knowing. And so, unless you repent, you'll all perish in the same way. See how Jesus picks up? Must have been something wrong with them. I wonder what they did. What do you mean you wonder what they did? What are you doing? Don't you understand? They're nothing. They weren't super bad. They were just like you. So repent. You see? Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them, that they were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? Those 18 guys who were building that tower and it fell on them, and they all died, were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? I mean, everybody knows that that's not true. So what did they do wrong? Oh, look at the, you know, no, no. He says, I tell you, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. He's urging them to repentance. He doesn't mind frightening them, cajoling them, telling them the story of the prodigal son, anything to get them to turn back to the Father. That's what Lent is all about. Don't be afraid. Stop sinning. Go back to the Father. Oh. And so, you see, as we have this Sunday in Lent, it's Repentance Sunday. Come back. Come back. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Why didn't you come back? You've got all of these proofs. You've got all of these Psalms, all of the material we've been reading today on this Sunday to bring you back. Okay. And he began telling this parable. The man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard. So there's a fig tree inside the vineyard. Okay. And he came looking for fruit on it and didn't find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree without finding any. 3 springs. That's a long time. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? And he answered the foreman and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine. But if not, cut it down. The patience of God. We can all look at our lives and say, oh, Lord, I'm so grateful that you didn't call me then, that you didn't have me die then. Where would I be now? And so I come back to you, Lord. I confess all my sins. I trust you. And the more I get to know you and your forgiveness, you're not a pushover. You are pure white light, burning white light truth. But the pure white light truth is love. God doesn't have to minimize my sins. Oh, it was nothing. I know you didn't mean that. No, you're really basically a good guy. No, I'm not basically a good guy. I'm a sinner. And that's the one that God forgives. Because if I get this idea, well, you know, I was good when I was 2, and that's why God forgives me. What happens when I find out I wasn't good even when I was 2? Where's the forgiveness now? See, if I try to place the source of the forgiveness in me, I'm cooked. Because the longer I live, the more I'll see it is not in me. It is not in me. And therefore, it's in God. Therefore, go to God and be forgiven. Oh, I can tell you as a priest, you know, some people, especially during Lent, come back. And the priest himself, I can tell you, your heart begins to jump with joy. And you say, this is just a tiny reflection of what Jesus is feeling right now. They're back. They're back. Oh, sometimes so long they can't even remember when they were there. But the Lord's got them back. And when they receive absolution, they know joy. They know forgiveness. And they can build a life of sanctity on that experience. Of sanctity. Camillus de Lellis, Saint Camillus de Lellis. He was a soldier of fortune with his father, mercenary. And they committed murder, they stole, they drank, they gambled, they had led sensual lives, you know. And then he gets religion. The Lord touches his life. Now he wants to live as a religious, celibate, poor, obedient. So he goes to the various orders and they won't take him. Hey, we've heard about you, man. We don't want you around here. You're just going to cause trouble. And besides that, what will the rest of the world think? We took this crook in. No, sorry, we won't take him. Nobody would take him. So he said, okay. So he went down to a really poor hospital. And he began to care for the sickest of the sick. Remember, there weren't trained nurses and nice beds and all that. I mean, like, just the Christians who took care of the sick. There were no big hospitals yet. And he took care of, well, then some other guys joined him. And they all took care of the sick. So he founded an order. This guy that none of the other orders would take. And he's canonized. Now, who the superiors were who turned him down, nobody knows. But they all know Camillus de Lellis because of his story, because of his compassion, because of his miracles, because he's a saint. So what makes a saint? Somebody who weeps over their sins. That's what makes a saint. God makes the saint. All we do is repent for our sins and trust Him. And pretty soon, that gets to be such a great delight. Such a delight. To repent for your sins and receive this forgiveness. The greatest delight in the world to know this fatherhood of God, His forgiveness. In absolute, pure, white light truth, He doesn't say, oh, I know you didn't mean it, when He knows darn well I did. You know? Or, you know, you were rushed. No, I wasn't. I sinned. And I don't have to try to palliate it, and God won't palliate it, because He's got something better. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Replace that sin with His life. Forgiveness. That's why this is Forgiveness Sunday, you see? And all these readings and this beautiful psalm, they're all to bring us to forgiveness. And so, now that we're in Lent now, and we're really there, and now we're into the third Sunday of Lent, it's about time to get serious. You know, we've got a few more weeks to get ready for what? For the mystical explosion of life and light that happens when we celebrate the resurrection. I must find that sermon of St. John Chrysostom. If you kept the fast, come. If you didn't keep the fast, come. Today is Easter. Everybody's forgiven. Amen.